Our Old Testament reading this morning will come from the book of Jonah. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of Jonah, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip over to read verse 10. It is found on page 801 of your Pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he cried, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Our New Testament reading will come from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel, verses 14 through 20. It's found on page 867 of your Pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net on the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Every now and then someone will ask, "What time is it? What time are we living in? Are we living in the last days? Are we living in the middle of time? What time is it?" Well, I'm sure many of you are aware that there are two kinds of time in the Bible. On the one hand, there is what we might call chronos time. Chronos time is ordinary time. It's the time that is measured in minutes and weeks and months. It's the calendar time. It is where we get our English word chronology. Many of us are quite familiar with chronos time. It's the time that governs much of our lives. We get up by chronos time. We go to work by chronos time. We live our lives by chronos time. But the Bible also speaks of kairos time. Kairos is an opportune time. It is a time for decision. It is time that is pregnant with meaning and purpose of God. Kairos time is an inbreaking of God's purpose into our world, calling for a radical reorientation of our lives. That's what time it is in our text this morning, and that's what time it is for you and me today as we live our lives and seek to live our lives faithfully before God. It's an opportune time, a time to turn our lives around. In our text this morning from Mark, we are told that Jesus has been proclaiming the gospel, the good news, of the kingdom of God in Galilee. That's what the good news is. The good news is the kingdom of God. It is the inbreaking of God's kingdom into the world. It is God finally bringing about things on earth just as they are in heaven. It is heaven and earth finally coming together. That's what the Israelites had been waiting on. That's what they'd been praying for. They'd been praying for the inbreaking of God's kingdom. And now Jesus is saying that that time is now. The time is being fulfilled. It was being fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus, the kingdom of God was present. In Jesus, heaven and earth was coming together. In Jesus, things were being done on earth as they are in heaven. And so Jesus is proclaiming that the time is now. The time of God's kingdom is being fulfilled. It's a kairos time, an opportune time. And because the kingdom of God is breaking into our world, because God's will is being done in the person of Jesus, Jesus says that it's time and opportunity for us to change our lives as well. Jesus says that it's an opportune time, a time for all of us to repent. Repent, of course, is one of those words that we hear a lot in the church. It means to have a change of heart, to change our heart and to change our ways. But it also means to turn our lives around. It's a recognition that many of us are living our lives heading in the wrong direction, heading further and further away from God, further and further from the ways of the kingdom, further and further towards the things that give life and towards those things that bring death and destruction. So the call that Jesus brings to us this morning is the call to repent, to turn our lives around, to have a change of heart in the way that we have been living our lives. When I was living in Atlanta, there was a woman, a street preacher, who would often go downtown, and she would stand on the street corners and she would declare that people repent and change their lives. Repent, she would say. Get your life together. And she had a pretty definitive idea of what it meant to repent. It meant no smoking and no drinking and no sleeping around. And she would say, repent, repent, because God's kingdom is at hand. And I think about that lady every time I read this text about Jesus telling those in Galilee and telling us as well to repent. It certainly means what the lady in Atlanta acknowledged. We do need to get our lives together. If we're sleeping around and if we are relying on drink and if we are doing things that are destructive to our lives, we need to repent and turn our lives around. But when Jesus says repent, he's talking about something much more exhaustive and much more comprehensive than those individual destructive behaviors. When Jesus tells us to repent, he is telling us to turn away from the idols that control much of our lives. He is telling us to turn our lives around from those patterns of behavior and those systems of thought that we actually believe can save us. Those alternative gospels that we have come to believe are good news. We know what many of that is in our own day and age. We know what those alternative gospels are. We know what those systems of thought and those patterns of thinking are, the patterns of thinking that we believe in, that we believe can save us. Jesus wants us to repent from all of those false gospels. One of them, of course, I heard the other day on the news in the midst of our political election that is taking place. Many people believe that we can be saved by lots of the programs that are being offered up by the political parties. Some people believe that we can be saved by more government. If we just have more government, we can save ourselves. Government is the answer, and more government programs are the answer. And if we just had that, we can save ourselves. But Jesus says, repent from that. Come out of that. We cannot be saved by that. We cannot be saved by more government programs. We need to repent from that way of thinking. Some people believe that we can be saved if we just let the marketplace do what it needs to do. We just turn our lives over to the marketplace and follow the dictates of the marketplace, then we can be saved. Many people believe that that can save us. But Jesus wants us to repent from that way of thinking. Repent from that, because the marketplace cannot save us. Only God can save us. Only God is the place where we can find our salvation. Many of us believe that violence can save us. If we were just able to have big guns and tanks, then we can be saved. And we believe in that. We believe that that can save us, that that will bring us salvation. That is what we believe is good news, if we just have enough bombs and tanks. But Jesus tells us to repent from that way of thinking. That way of thinking cannot save us. The only thing that can save us is to follow the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only thing that can save us is to follow the way of the kingdom that Jesus has outlined for us. Jesus tells the people of his day to repent. Many of the people in Jesus' day believed, just like many of us today, they believed that different things could save them. Some of them believed that the Roman Empire could save them. We could just be a part of the Roman Empire, then we can be saved. Other people believed that if they just employed enough violence, that they could liberate themselves from the Roman Empire. So if we can just employ enough violence, God will save us, God will fight for us, God will be on our side. So we just need to be able to make sure that God is on our side. But if we just employ enough violence, that God will be able to liberate us and save us. But Jesus says no. Jesus says the kingdom of God is now at hand. Jesus reminds them that in his presence, God's kingdom is there. And Jesus says, repent. Repent because the time is now. God's kingdom is already breaking in to our world. And that we need to repent to get our lives together. To get our lives together and to follow the way that can really bring us abundant life, which is the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Spirit that he comes to bring us. One of the problems, of course, with us human beings is we want to go our own way. We don't want to believe that. We want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. We believe we know what's best for our lives. We have this stubborn streak in us that if we just are able to do what we want to do, we can save ourselves. We don't need to repent. We just need to do our own thing, follow our own idols, follow our own heart. But Jesus tells us that we need to repent, to turn our lives around. Because the way that we are going, the trajectory that we are on, is going to bring us destruction and death. It's going to bring us further and further away from God. You would think that we would know that. You would think that we would know that by now. You would think that we would know that the way that we go, the way that we choose, continues to bring destruction. You would think that we would have enough history to understand that, that we can't save ourselves. That the places that we would want to go, the path that we pursue, cannot be saved. We cannot save ourselves that way. You would think that we would know that the answers are not in our political parties. You would think that we would know that the answer is not in the marketplace, especially what happened in the last few years. You would think that we would know that, but we never seem to be able to learn that. We want to do things our own way. But Jesus says that now is the opportune time, the time for us to repent, to turn our lives around, to follow the way that really brings abundant life. And so Jesus calls us to repent. But repenting isn't all. It is an opportune time, Jesus says, not only to repent, but it's also an opportune time for us to believe. For us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For us to believe that in him, God's kingdom is already broken into our world. And God's promises are already being fulfilled. We know that that time has not yet been fully consummated, but we are still waiting for it. The whole world is waiting for the redemption of our bodies and the redemption of the world. And Jesus says that we are to believe. God has already initiated God's part of the program of salvation. All we have to do now is to do our part. God has already overcome evil on the cross, but now we have to do our part, and our part is to believe, to really believe that God's kingdom has already broken into this world, to really believe that in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God has already defeated the forces and powers of death and evil. But it's hard for us to believe that. It's hard for us human beings really to believe that. I was reading at some time that when President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, that the word went out to many slaves that they'd been set free. But many of them could not believe that. They couldn't believe that something like that could take place. They'd lived all their lives in slavery. They lived all their lives in chains, and they couldn't believe that they'd actually been set free. But we are called to believe. We too have been liberated from the slavery and bondage of sin and death. We've been set free, and now we have to believe. We have to go out and actually believe that we have been set free and begin to live into that freedom that has been made available through the Lord Jesus Christ. I noticed a couple of weeks ago in Time magazine that the person of the year was not a person at all, but was a whole group of people. The person of the year was protesters, especially interested in the Arab Spring and what happened there last summer. It was a number of people who began to believe that their lives could actually be better, that their lives could be changed, that they didn't have to settle for ways of life that many of them had lived for decades after decades. And so they began to really believe that things could be better. They believed that their life could be to take another turn, that they didn't have to live under oppression and the dictatorships that they'd been living. And so they began to really believe and to take it out into the streets and to ask for change. And that is what we are called to do as well. We are called to really believe that the kingdom of God has already broken into our world. Something far more significant than the Arab Spring has happened in our world. What has happened is that in the person of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is already at hand. Jesus says that time is now. The time is now. God's kingdom is now. You just have to believe it. Nothing can happen if we don't believe. We can't even begin to change things if we don't believe. Not even Jesus himself can do it alone. Jesus needs followers. He needs people like you and I, people who are willing to follow him and capture his spirit. He needs us to believe. If we believe, we can begin through the Spirit of God to change the world in which we are currently living. But we have to be able to believe. We understand that the Bible is a book about our faith in God. But even more remarkable, the Bible is a book about God's faith in us. God has faith in each and every one of us. God has chosen to become one of us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus asks us to believe, to put our lives at stake, and to really believe that the kingdom has already broken into our world. Sometimes I see what's going on in the various movements that are taking place in our society right now, and seeing young people putting their lives on the line, young people who are tired of the way things are, young people who wonder whether or not there's going to be a future, and some of those young people have begun to go out and really believe that things can be different. And I wonder, where is the church? We are the community that knows that the time is now. We are the community that knows that God's kingdom has broken into the world now. We are the community that knows that Jesus Christ is Lord now. And yet we often act as if we don't believe. We often act as if nothing can change. We often accept things the way that they are. The church should be in the forefront of people declaring and proclaiming and wanting to make sure that there is a better world, because we know what time it is. We know that God's kingdom has already broken, but we need to believe. We need to repent, and we need to believe. Do we believe? Jesus says, repent and believe. Do we believe? The text tells us that immediately, when Jesus calls his disciples, that they immediately follow him. James and John and Simon and Andrew, when they are called, they immediately follow Jesus. They put down what they are doing. They put down their nets and they leave their boat and they immediately follow him. They don't know all the particulars about the kingdom, but they know what time it is. They know in the person of Jesus that God has broken into the world. They know in the person of Jesus that God is doing a new thing. They know in the person of Jesus that things will never be the same again. And so they put down their nets and they follow him. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They follow him because they know what time it is. And Jesus wants us to understand what time it is. He wants us to know what time it is. Don't be content with the way things are. We don't need to be content because we know what time it is. It's the opportune time. It's an opportune time for us to get our lives together. It's an opportune time for us to turn our lives around, to turn our lives away from the idols of this world, to turn our lives away from all of that that means destruction and death. To turn our lives back towards God, back towards God, who is our true identity, who gives us our true identity. It's an opportune time for us to begin to live into the kingdom that is already broken into our world. I was reading the editor of Wired magazine not long ago, and he was saying that if you really want to change things, it only takes, you have to have 1,000 people at least to change things. When you have 1,000 people, you can begin to change things and make a difference in the world. Well, maybe, but I think that you don't need even that many. I think you just need a few, maybe 12, maybe 4, like Jesus has this morning. Just 4 people, we can begin to change the world. That's what Jesus began with, 4 fishermen. He didn't go to the high and mighty. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't seek out those with power and position and influence. He sought out 4 people, 4 fishermen. And he turned the world upside down. And we are reminded, too, that if we want to turn our community upside down, if we want to turn our city upside down, if we want to turn our country upside down, then all it takes is for us to be committed to the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. The good news for us today is that there's still time. There's still time for all of us. If you're living and breathing, there's still time. It's still an opportune moment. It's still a Kairos moment. It's still a God moment, a moment pregnant with possibility and purpose. There's still time for all of us. Time to get our lives together. Time to turn our lives around. Time to capture the vision, to capture the spirit of God that's blowing in the midst of our world. There's still time. Time for us to follow the way that brings life, abundant life. There's still time. We just have to avail ourselves of that time while we still can. The Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians tells us that the time is short. Time is short. We don't know where we are in the spectrum of God's plan. We don't know if we're at the last days. We don't know where we are. But what we do know is that today we have an opportune moment. Today we have an opportune time. Today we have the Kairos moment to begin to live into the vision that God has set before us. I wish we could get excited about that in the church. I wish we could get at least half as excited as I see people are on those political campaigns. And they're excited and jumping up and down. I wish we could get excited about that, about Jesus. I wish we could get excited about Jesus the way we get excited about Obama, or the same way we get excited about Romney, or the same way we get excited about Gingrich, or whoever it was. I wish we could get excited about Jesus like that. I wish we could begin as the church to really take advantage of this time that we've been given, this opportune time to proclaim the kingdom of God. God's kingdom has already begun to break in, and God just needs followers, dedicated followers, who will put down their lives long enough to follow him and to follow the way that brings abundant life. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to follow you. And yet we refuse to open our lives up in a way that would lead to the abundant life that you've already initiated in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask that you help us, Lord, to open ourselves up to your Spirit. We ask that you give us the courage to begin to live now into that future that you've already made available in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to turn away from the idols of the world. Help us to turn away from those construals of salvation that we really put our faith and trust in. Help us to understand the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that goes by the way of the cross and the self-giving love that the cross represents. We ask, Lord, that you help us to believe, not just to believe intellectually, but to believe in a way that will allow us to open our lives up to you, to put aside all of the things that we think are important and to begin to live in to the good news of your kingdom. Help us to continue to be that light that shines in the midst of the darkness, and help us to be that beloved community that proclaims that the time is now, and proclaims that not just but what we say, but proclaims that in the way we live our lives. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.